Welcome back to Renegade Muscle, episode 2. I am Jeff Roberts, and I'm here once again with Lee Priest. What's up, Lee?
Not much. It's, what is it here? 9:15. I've been up for 5 hours, 15 minutes already. Oh, my day's half over, and it's just begun.
What time do you normally get up? You're
4
early.
4 a.m. Yeah, 4 a.m.
What time do you go to bed?
9:30, 10, or if I start dozing off around 9-ish or so like that, then I might go to bed then. But generally 9:30, then get up at 4. I try not to nap during the day. I find if I nap during the day, it's like it's a catch 22 where you can wake up feel refreshed, or you wake up and you feel fucking worse. So I try not to nap.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I get the munchies from napping. If I take an hour nap and I wake up, I'm always ravenously hungry when I wake up.
That's because you're weird. Smoking all the pot before you take your nap.
No, that's not why. That would make sense. You've watched the show with Fuad and Luke, right? The Bodybuilding and Bollocks show. You were on RX with them. They've brought you up several times just because it's a bodybuilding show. You know, Lee generally comes up in those sort of shows. But plus you had that debate thing with him, and he thinks you don't like him, which I don't think is true.
No, I like him. Fuad. I like the show.
Yeah. I think
when Luke talks about me, Luke describes it more because being English and being Australian, we just have that dry sense of humor and sarcasm, and people take it like, oh, he's angry or he talks this way or stuff, but that's just sarcasm. It's just the way we are. It doesn't mean I don't like you. Actually, I like this show. I occasionally watch it. So
I love the show. I'm probably the number one listener, like I said. But he brought up a story about you from 2008 at the Arnold Expo. Okay, so 2008 okay. Arnold Expo, and I listened to this and I wrote it down verbatim. So he said he was standing with Robert Kennedy. You guys were standing. It was you, Robert Kennedy, and Fuad.
Yeah.
And Robert Kennedy said something to Fuad along the lines of, "This is going to be our next big thing. He's the next guy coming up," because he had recently turned pro.
Oh yeah. He said to me, Robert Kennedy said to me about Fuad, "This is the next big thing."
Yeah. And then Fuad says you proceeded to look at him and go, "Poof, I doubt it," and walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably did, but that's just my sense of humor.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, because he said that, I was like, that doesn't sound like Lee to do that in a serious manner.
No, I wouldn't. I would have just been my sucker. But because I do stuff such straight-faced, people go, is he being serious or what? And nothing against Fraud. Saying he's the next big thing, well, I was correct. To me, when someone says the next big thing, I picture Dorian Yates, Mr. Olympia. You know, Fraud was a great bodybuilder and stuff. I think he did win a pro show, didn't he? I know his whole history. But to say you're the next big thing, when someone says the next big thing to me, I'm thinking, Mr. Olympia, like you're going to just blow everyone out the water. And as good as he was, he didn't do that. So technically I was correct. He wasn't the next big thing. He was a great bodybuilder, but not the next big thing. Because when I hear the next big thing in anything, it's like in basketball, if he's the next big thing, I start thinking, oh, he's going to be like Jordan or Kobe Bryant. So when someone says he's the next, but I would have just said that in fun as if like, okay, whatever. I do it that straight. People all the time when I'm even giving interviews, I'll be saying it so straight faced and sarcastic. They're like, is he being serious? Is he like, you know?
Right. No. it's that accent.
No, that is the accent. But I think when you see, like I said, Luke sometimes can talk the same way. People are like, is Luke being serious or is he just having fun? But there's different comedians that pull it off that way and you're like, is he being serious? Or sometimes you watch Ricky Gervais, he can say stuff so straight-faced and that. Because if you know his sense of humor, you know he's having a joke. But people are like, did he mean what he just said or what? It's like, really? Yeah. Do you think he meant that? Come on. The answer to the question, no, I didn't mean it. It was just my dry sense of sarcastic humor.
Yeah, I figured he said that, and I was like, damn, that's a dick move. You would do that just to fucking around, but.
Yeah, but I never put down anyone coming up or doing stuff like that. I said I'd do a dick move as to be sarcastic, like, okay, whatever, you know, just to fuck around. But, you know, he obviously didn't quite get that. He's like, what, fucking hell, that cunt just said I'm going there.
Yeah, well, let's see. So first questions from
So in case Generation 9 says, no, I wasn't being a bully to Fouad back then, no. that was just Lee being his dick sense of sarcastic.
Yeah. Would you sign, this is from Zenon Leem. Would you sign a boxing contract to enter the ring with Bob Chicarillo?
If I was a boxer, yes. You always get these things before where you get stuff like, I'll get people call me out. Fuck you, Lee. You're a cunt. I'll beat you up. I'll meet you anywhere. I'm a fucking boxer. I'm thinking, well, what's the point in that? I'm a bodybuilder. If you're a trained fighter, what sort of fight's it going to fucking be? Of course you're going to fucking knock me out. But, hey, if I went into training and trained for boxing for a year and Bob did it too, okay, that would be okay, make a decent fight. But if two guys aren't really into boxing, we're just going to go in there and fucking scrap, throw haymakers, do whatever, grab, roll around on the ground like we're wrestling. It'd be ugly, it'd be entertaining, but I can never understand when someone goes, you wouldn't last a fucking second in the ring with Mike Tyson. No shit, dickhead, he's a professional fighter. Who the fuck would even? It's like, that's what I get when these people that like, I'm an MMA fighter and I do jiu-jitsu. Anytime, mate, I'll meet up with you. I was like, well, that would be a waste of time because if you're this fucking black belt in this, you're a jiu-jitsu fighter and I meet up with you, all I do is lift weights. It's not going to last long, is it, really? Unless I was lucky to get a punch in or fucking kick you in the shins and nuts and take you to the ground really quick. But that's what I don't get. It's not even like this big Eddie Hall and Paul are going to have this fight. People are like, oh, they're going to get puffed out. The fight's 13 months away. You don't think these two guys are going to actually train for stamina and do some boxing and make it an okay fight? If they went in the ring right now, it'd be a bit of a mess and swinging and shit like that. But people are like, well, they're not fighters. Well, we know they're not fighters, for fuck's sake, you know? It'd be like when people say, you know, you and Floyd Mayweather, he's half your size, he'll knock you out. Yeah, because he's a professional fighter. But if I took Floyd Mayweather to the gym, he ain't going to squat 800 fucking pounds if I fell on his back and go, there you fucking go. Exactly. Come on, squat 800. So yeah, it's just, when they compare different sports to different things, when these people say, oh, I'm going to beat you up and I'm a professional fighter. Wow, a professional fighter beating up a guy that doesn't fight. Wow, that's an accomplishment.
you wouldn't be a dick and ask Bob to pose down.
No. It's like, you know, just like ridiculous. But there, when people try and compare different sports.
It's the same thing. It's like if you were to ask someone who's not a bodybuilder, that was a jab at Bob.
Hey, Lee, I just spoke to Hussein Bolt, Lee. He wants to fucking meet up with you and challenge you to do a 100-meter race. Oh, yeah. Okay.
It'd be like you like getting online and challenging Eddie Hall to a bodybuilding contest in a year. I mean.
Exactly.
I mean.
Or Eddie Hall saying, come on, Lee, I'll fucking give deadlift comp test.
Yeah, like, right.
What the fuck for?
No, thanks.
I might as well just stay in bed. It's like Hussein Bolt would be halfway down the track and I'd just be leaving the blocks.
David V. Bogdan. I started working nights recently and my diet is all over the place. Sometimes I eat breakfast at 6 p.m. when I wake up before work. And on the days off, I eat breakfast at 9 a.m. and the meals from there on. Is this all right, basically?
Yeah, you get that a lot with shift workers. You just got to adapt to what your schedule is. Yes, you know, your body clock gets thrown out, it can mess you up a lot that way. But yeah, you pretty much just got to treat it like if you're working at night and you're getting up at 6 at night to go, you just treat it as a normal day, even though it's nighttime. Still try and space your meals out as if it was morning time. That's the best way. And then sometimes if you're working, you might have to throw in protein drinks if you don't have time to sit down and eat a meal. But you pretty much just got to set that mindset that, okay, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., that's my day. So try and put your meals in accordingly as if it was 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on a normal day. So yeah, it can mess you, especially with sleeping, because I have friends that 1 week they do day work, the next week they do night work, so their body clock's just going back and forth. But it can be done. You just got to take a little bit more planning with it and just, you know, think about it a little bit more, you know, what your meals can be and when to eat them.
Yeah, it might also be a little bit of overthinking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're just trying to get big or whatever, like it's not really that. Just do it, you know, just eat the food and train hard. Yeah. Are there any bodybuilders of today's era that you consider great, including all divisions?
That I consider great? Well, this era. Well, they mean this era as in how far back? Well, Phil Heathy's great because he's won Mr. Olympias. Cutler, is Jay Cutler this era or is that going back now? What era are we talking about? When you say era,
Jay's last win was – 10 years ago.
Oh, so that's crazy. He's out of this era. When we talk an era, are we talking like from 2015 to 2020?
Phil and on. We'll go Phil and on.
Well, Phil is,
I mean,
yes,
Phil for sure, yeah.
Phil is, yes. Well, you got to say Brendan. Anyone that wins a Mr. Olympia has to be great, but then people that haven't won it, I think Flex Lewis is great. You know, okay, he's done the 212s, but I think, you know, to me, I'm not sure if I said it here before, but to me, my money's on Flex Lewis to win the Open Olympia. If he can come in, you know, full and ripped and shit, I think he's got a good chance of winning it. And, like, you know, Bonac, I think he's great and stuff like that. To say who do I think's great, you know, anyone that can get up on the pro stage, you know, not all of them because, you know, sometimes pro cars get given out like candy now. Anyone that can get on the Olympia stage is pretty much great to get up there. You know, we've seen guys that in the Olympia who might be fourth but look good enough to win because it's all an opinion. It comes down to judging and shit. So, you know, you got to give anyone credit that gets up on that O stage or the Arnold Classic stage or, you know, even some pro stages. Yes, you might have it now where the top, if there's 20 people, okay, the top 10 are great and then the next 10 down. They always say second tier pros and stuff, but, you know, it's hard to say, but, you know, everyone's good, but, you know, you're just going to have people just excel. So I'm not saying the guys who are out of the top 10 aren't good because they've still got their pro cards, but, you know, it's just, I think they give out too many pro cards now as if, to me, it's I make a joke about it when people go IFBB pro such and such in their name. It's like, if you've got to tell people you're an IFBB pro, you know, back in my day, you would see a guy in golds or see a guy walking around, you're like, fuck, look at that guy, he must be a pro, sure enough. But I've had guys come up to me, hi, Lee, I'm such and such, I got my pro card. I'm like,
it sucks.
In darts or golf, what the fuck you got your fucking pro card in? It's like, and that's not taking nothing away from them. I'm sure they train hard and shit, but it's, I think the whole sport's been that diluted now. And, but, you know, anyone that can get up on the Olympia stage or on a classic stage is great. But that's the thing, too. People always say, well, you know, who's the best bodybuilder ever? You can't even do that because Arnold was great in his day. Ronnie was good in his day. Sergio Oliva. You know, everyone's had their point in time. Even some of the greats who never won the Olympia, like Tom Platz, he was fantastic in his day. So there's so many greats of the sport, you can't just put it down to one. Or people go, well, what about if Ronnie was against Arnold? It's like, well, you can't do that. It's two different eras.
Yeah, right.
And I'm sure, too, like I said, you got to think, too, if Arnold did come up in the Ronnie era, Arnold's mindset and the way he trained and the determination and the difference with supplements and stuff, you don't think Arnold would have looked totally different in the new era compared to what he did back then. So it's like they say now with the Olympia, but they're not as good as the 90s. And the people are like, well, you've only got to be better than the best guy you're competing against. So why go full out killing yourself, doing this, doing that? If you don't have to be this big freaky monster to win like they were back in the 90s sometimes, why fucking push your body to that limit? You've only got to be as good as the competition. And if you're number one at that, well, that's as far as you need to push yourself, isn't it? But I'm sure, say like Brendan Curry, who won the Olympia last year, if he knew that Phil and that was coming back, and if he knew, I'm sure he trains his ass off, don't get me wrong, and pushes himself, but just that if he knew Kai was coming into it, Phil was coming into it, you don't think there'd be another little switch that would just turn on that little bit fucking harder to fucking go all out? So
Of course. Like, if you said, if there's, you can't compare eras because they're different eras and they're different. It's a whole different criteria and skill set. Like the 90s guys are, it was a different look back then than it is now. Uh-huh. They're more blown out now. They're average bigger. Back then, you guys were more like gaunt and dry and had that more like deep separation where the guys now are like blown up. You know, it's kind of like a whole different, the criteria was different.
Some of the guys now to me look like how we looked maybe 2 or 3 weeks before a show or maybe a week or so after.
How you look now, you look like you have a tighter face than almost everyone nowadays. I don't know how.
And that's what annoyed me about when I saw Rami at the thing, because Rami leading up to it, 3 weeks out, he was gaunt. He did those photos. He had striations in his glutes. And the thing, I could just see it now. See, Rami's so big, and normally when you are that gaunt and you got that hard separation look, you feel shit, you feel small. So I can just see it now. His whole mental process is like, I feel flat, I feel small. Because I did shows like that, feeling flat as fuck, feeling small, feeling like I wanted to pull out of the show a week before, end up winning the show or placing second and that. And when I see the photos, I'm like, fuck, I look great. But in my mind leading up to it, because you feel that flat, you got that fucking diet mind going on. So how Rami looked at 3 weeks out, he should have just stayed like that. Don't carb up. Don't do anything. Yeah, you might feel flat. You feel shit and small. But once you get on stage, someone like Rami with that mass, if he gets on stage that little bit harder, the illusion is going to look that much fucking bigger. That's the thing. You go on stage that little bit smoother, you're going to look a lot fatter on stage and that. So.
Right. Yeah, I think Rami was his best back. I don't know. I think he was his best in like 2013 or 2014, like that. The 2013 New York Pro when he made a big splash and he beat Victor after Victor got out of jail. That look was crazy. I mean, he's just kind of his waist is growing a little bit. I don't know if he needs to come in like you said. He needs to just come in like super.
To me, like a lot of these guys, a lot of these guys have the size. That's why they just get their conditioning right and come in dry, come in looking whatever. Don't do this silly carb up whatever they're doing the day or night before. Just come in looking like, you know. That's why I keep forgetting his name again. The one that came over and got third.
Hardy Chupin.
Yeah, Hardy. That's why everyone's going crazy about Hardy, because his conditioning was so, you know, freaky and compared to the other people. You know, Hardy, when we competed in the 90s, he would have done well too because he had that type of conditioning. And because you don't really see that conditioning as much now, that when you do see it, you're like, fucking hell, wow, look at that, you know. So that's why you can stand out so much. So if Rami brought that conditioning, or if any of those guys who are the bigger brought that conditioning, I used to just sometimes look at Kai and I'm thinking to myself, the amount of muscle Kai has on his frame, that cartoon look, that fucking 3D look, if Kai came in there fucking dry as fuck, like a granite, he would have won a fucking Olympia no problem, because his small joints, his tiny waist and all that freaky muscle, instead of playing the size game, if he had just came down a bit and had that dry look, he'd have probably one or two Olympia trophies sitting on his shelf, no problem.
Yeah. Well, that year in 2012, when he worked with Ron Norman and pretend to work with George Farah, Kai came in like he was like 245. I mean, George is like, he's 289. Like, come on. But he came in at like 245. He was the smallest he'd ever been. He'd ever been like at, he's just by far the smallest body weight he'd ever had, placing like battling with Phil. And that was the closest he came to winning. When he just like brought it all the way down.
Yeah. Well, even Flex says, you know, the best he looked, and you look back at some of his Arnold Classics, when Flex was weighing like 218 pounds, but he looked 250. Crazy. And then when he tried to play that size game going to 240, yes, he was still full and round, but he didn't have that detail that he used to have. And I still go back to when I won the San Francisco. You know, Chris Cormier was 260, placed second. I think Dexter was third, and I won it. And people are like, Lee, what did you weigh? And I'd say, I don't know, what do you think I weighed? They're like, oh, you easily looked 235 or so. I said, I was 199 pounds. That's all. I was under 200, and I won the show. Chris was 60 pounds heavier. But it's just that illusion up there. But you can't get that through to people's minds sometimes. They're like, I've got to be this weight. I've got to be big. But no, how many times, I'm sure you've seen it, when you go to the Nationals or USAs, I've been at shows when I was over there, the bantam weight class comes out. Now, look, you know, technically, how light are they? You get some of those bantam weight or lightweights, and you sit there, you're like, he looks like a fucking freak. Look at him up there.
Yes, but that's
then,
true.
But then when he's not on stage, he can walk past you in the audience and you're like, he's fucking tiny. He's tiny as shit. But up there, I remember Serge Newbray back in the day, he came to Australia to guest pose and he had this one-piece jumpsuit on. He was walking around, you could see he had the delts and the small waist, and you're thinking, he's pretty, but I'm thinking, I saw him pumping iron and that, he was fucking look massive. So he had this jumpsuit on, I'm like, yeah, he still looks like he trains, he looks fit, you know. And then I said, okay, he's coming out the guest pose, curtains open, the spotlight hit him, I'm like, what the fuck? You'd swear to God the cunt just went out the back and put on a 100-pound muscle suit and added extra muscle, because you're like, in a jumpsuit, you could tell he's athlete, but up there, he just looked like this freak when the spotlight hit him. So
yeah. It's like the same when you're at a show and the middleweights come out. So the good middleweights are like, they're fucking huge. They look huge under the lights. Like if you have a guy like you, a guy like Lee, who weighs in at 176 and carbs up to 181, at 5'5", is going to look freaky as fuck. Like, you know, you're going to look gigantic. Like the body weight thing.
A lot of my first pro shows when I was in America, I weighed around 180 on stage, 181. A lot of those pro shows.
Yeah.
People would say to me backstage, I remember Chris one time too, because I'd always go backstage and wear the loose black top and just big jumper and pants and shit, keep to myself, pump up in the corner. I'd go into the toilet, take it off, put oil on, then put it back on and go back and pump up again. And people were just looking at me. And as soon as I took it off and the muscle and the veins were there, they're like, where the fuck did that shit come from? You know? Yeah. So it's like, generally the ones that look so small in their clothing and look gaunt, once they pump up and take it off, they're the ones to watch out for. You know, it's like that, the old saying about you go out to a bar and there's that big mouth, fuck you, I'll beat you up, whatever. You know, you generally don't worry about them. It's that little quiet guy sitting at the end of the bar that you don't fuck with him because he'll just get up and fucking knock you out.
Right. Exactly. All right. This guy, IDFA underscore Danny. At what stage of a bulk do you call it quits if you don't compete? I heard you mention you pulled back once. I heard you mention you pulled back once the competition date was set.
Uh-huh.
But if you don't compete, how do you know when to stop making gains and start acquiring unnecessary body fat? Any insight? It looks like sounds like he's just saying, how do you know
when to stop bulking up?
Yeah, how do you know when too much is too much?
When you get too fucking fat, you'll know. It's like I'd go by like this time when I was, God, I'm not competing now, but I was eating a lot of shit food and stuff, and I normally go by, you know, your boxer shorts or if I'm wearing cargo shorts. Normally if you bulk up and you start getting that muffin top love handles, they'll fold over once. You get a bit heavier, they fold over twice. Yeah. When you get to the third rollover of your boxer shorts or shorts, it's time to cut back. So one roll's fine.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you look in the mirror and it goes, burr, your waist and shit like that, then it's time to cut back. You'll know because you get to a point too, I find that even – I don't even call it bulking. People are like, Lee, what weight are you aiming for? I never aimed for a weight. Like I said, my weight was always just determined by how long I had between shows. And because I loved eating, I just ate whatever I wanted. If I had only 4 months between a show, the heaviest I got might have been 240, 245. If I got 6 months between shows, I was 270 odd because I just ate. People are like, Lee, why are you forcing yourself to eat that much food and put that weight on? I said, I'm not. If I go out, yes, I might have a steak and vegetables, but then as I go to a movie, I'm going to have popcorn, fucking ice cream. I'm going to have this. Right. Maybe I get home and have chicken breast and rice. But then after that, I'll have a bag of chips, a block of chocolate because I can fucking have it. I'm not competing. But there was no point where I actually sat there forcing food in my mouth to make a certain weight. I just ate when I wanted. And some days I wouldn't hardly eat anything. I might have breakfast and then I might not eat again to the afternoon. So I just ate whenever I felt like it. So, you know, in my off season, nothing was regimented. There was no food plan. There was no, I got to eat this many calories a day. Because people say, Lee, bulking up, how many calories did you eat? I'm like, wouldn't have a fucking clue. I just ate. Yeah. I never counted calories. I just ate what I felt like eating. So
it was probably different every day.
Yeah, it was always different. You know, one morning for breakfast, it might have been scrambled eggs on toast and oatmeal. Next morning, I get up, it's bacon and eggs and Fruit Loops. I just, whatever I felt like. So it wasn't, nothing was ever planned. They're like, well, why'd you have to eat so much to get that big? I said, I didn't have to. I just enjoyed eating. You know, when I go to the gym and train for a contest, I take it serious. Off season, I still take the training serious. But when I'm done training, I'm not going to go home and sit and think about bodybuilding 24/7. I want to go somewhere, I go and eat. I want to go to a nice restaurant and they've got a whole heap of shit food. I'm going to eat a whole heap of shit food. I'm not going to go to a fancy restaurant and have chicken breast and rice. I'm like, I can eat that at home or I can eat that when I'm dieting. So, yeah, it's just crazy. So I've never, like I said, I've never forced myself to eat or, you know, I've never got off from a contest and going, okay, this off season, I'm going to aim for 270. Never once set a weight of what I'm going to get to. I just ate whatever it was. But generally go by the pant fold. If your pants are rolling over a lot, then you're getting too fat.
I usually have a spot on my belt and I'm like, this spot, this loop on the belt is as far as I'm going to go.
Here's another one I used to go by sometimes. If I was sitting on the toilet taking the crap, when you sit there and you get a stomach fold, I put my finger in the stomach fold and see this line here. Sometimes it'd be there. So I'd start dieting and then it'd be here. So now my finger doesn't go. My finger doesn't go in the fold. If you can push your finger and use your finger as a depth gauge, if you get to this line here and that's where your fat finger goes into your fat, you're getting fat. So bring it back to that line.
That's such a fucking bodybuilder thing to do. If you get too fat and your like stomach pushes up against your like pec or at that point your titty, and you can put like you can hot dog your finger between your tit and your in your stomach, and like it like rolls over it like that. That's another one. You're like, oh man.
That's where you wish you had a 12-inch cock. You could titty fuck yourself. So
there you go.
No, it's just one of those things. You just gotta, you know when to stop. But you know, it's just sometimes you don't want to.
I think sometimes, I mean, be realistic with.
But the thing is, off season in contest time, because contest time I was doing more cardio and that, using a bit more gear, I'd always get my blood work done. And the same thing off season, even if I wasn't taking gear, but because I am eating so much food, fat food, sugary foods, this and that, every 6 months, on season, off season, I always get my blood work done. People are like, well, weren't you unhealthy? I said, no, I'd get my blood checked. Cholesterol was still good. I always find cholesterol too can be a lot of genetics and hereditary stuff, because I know people that eat fish, salads, healthy food, even vegetarians, cholesterol's through the fucking roof. Yeah. I've got mates that are a bit overweight, eat bacon, McDonald's, sausages, and their cholesterol is fucking below fucking normal. So,
yeah.
You know, but I'd always get my blood work done, you know, on season, off season, just to keep a check of things. And I think that's the best way to do it too, so you know things aren't going haywire.
Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends, and they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com, and use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
Do you think, actually, that was a question. It's funny you brought that up. How many guys in your era, the 90s, how many of them do you think did normal blood work to go over? Let me see. I don't know where it went. It must have been on yours. But whoever he was, he asked if the guys in your day were just like buying gear and jabbing, or were they just... Were most of them doing blood work and being monitored by a doctor?
Well, when I started back here in Australia, you could go to the doctor and get it. So they were being monitored, and they'd go to the doctor and get the exact amount. So if you were going to get tests, the doctor would give you 200, 300 milligrams of test. You weren't taking, hey, doc, give me a fucking gram of test. You'd get what he fucking prescribed. And then he would, and of course, you are going to the doctors while you're there. He'd check your blood pressure, do whatever. And then when I was in America for a while, till he passed away, I was seeing a sports doctor there, but then I'd just find a normal doctor anyway and just go to and get my blood work done. But I don't think a lot worked, because I'd speak to some people and they had that stupid mentality, what you don't know can't hurt you. Well, really? It's like, you know, then you're taking all that gear. Aren't you scared that if something happens, you know, they'd be like, no, I was 280. I'd go walking everywhere. People were like, Lee, why are you walking so much? It didn't bother me. The first time I hit 250 one year, I was a bit out of breath, but then every year after that, I felt normal. I was just as active at 280 as I was at 210, and that the only difference was maybe because I was eating so many more carbs when I was 260, 280. If I sat, I could be active as hell, but as soon as I sat down to watch TV, you go to sleep from all the carbs, but I could be out walking all day. It didn't bother me. So people were like, that carrying that extra weight didn't hurt you? I said, no. I had my blood work done, checked the stress test on the heart and stuff. I was fine, I'm sure. The heart would have been under a bit more stress naturally just by carrying a bit more body weight and stuff, but not to the point where they say to me, Lee, you better back off because your heart's really getting fucking pounded here and stuff like that. So, no, but a lot of them did. A couple I knew might have, but it's like anything, even if you're not a bodybuilder, I find men generally, to go to a doctor and get anything checked, we've got to be on death's door. Well, I think he does something. I feel okay, I'll be right. And then you're like, I think I've got to go to the hospital. You go to the hospital. Oh, you know, if you came here 2 weeks ago, you was like, well, fuck
you. Yeah.
So I think we
it's one of the benefits of having women in our lives when we do. Like, they can
force you to go.
They'll be like, you're not okay. Let's go.
Exactly. You know? And you're like, okay. But then sometimes, too,
I'm fine.
I used to get to the point where, I don't know, because sometimes, you know, fucking Dr. Google, you'd always get these problems. I'd be like, oh, I've got a bit of a pain here. I wonder what that's from, just gas or this. Hold on, let me look it up. Pain on this part of my body. I Google it. Oh, fucking, it's some sort of bowel cancer. It's fucking appendicitis. It's fucking...
It's coronavirus.
Everything you fucking Google is a cancer. So don't fucking Google. So then I'd fucking think about it, and my brain would be going so fucking much thinking, fuck, I wonder if I do have that. So after like a week or two, I'm like, you know what, I'm going up to the hospital. And I'd go in there to say a problem, so I'd just make up bullshit. The best way, people, to get in, you know, if you go to an emergency room and it's really fucking busy, yeah, what's your problem? Tightness of the chest, finding it hard to breathe. You're fucking straight in, so just use that when you go up there. So I get up there, I go in. What's wrong? Tightness of the chest. I'll come in here, sir. Hook me on the EKG machines and shit. I said, I've also got this pain here and that, and they take blood. And then after like a day in hospital, you're fine. The tests come back good. I'm like, whew. So now mentally I know I'm okay because fucking Dr. Google's got me fucking on stage 4 cancer dying next week. So so just for Coach peace Greg. Of mind, just for peace of mind, sometimes I'd actually go to the hospital just so I could get all the shit done, just so they can check me over and go, no, you're fine. You're really good, actually. So thank you. I'm like, whew.
I had a chronic burping issue. And I figured out what it was from. It was from I was taking oregano oil drops, and I've run supplement stores my whole life. That's pretty much what I do. And like I was taking oregano oil drops from it was a long time ago. I read an article. It was by Frank Zane. He talked about it, whatever. But they gave me like some sort of weird specific kind of indigestion that made me burp, like very small. Like it was like a pocket of air right here all the time for about 10 days. And I went to Dr. Google just like you did, and fucking hell, that was a bad idea.
Throat cancer and fucking 100
throat cancer and shit. I was like, one night I remember I was up on my phone. I like couldn't sleep, and I'd stop that. And I remember
and like, as you read it too, it says, "Do you have a burning?" Yeah, I got that. Do you? Fuck, I got that. Then it tells you, "Fuck, I've got throat cancer." What's that one? Fucking esophagus type thing. Fucking. Well, when I used to get heavy, that's the only problem I really had when I got heavy was if I ate too much before bed, I'd get gastric reflux.
Yeah.
You'd be laying there and wake up, you're like, fucking like vomit coming up your throat. So that's the only thing I ever had when I got, if I ate too much before bed, laying down, I get all this pressure here, like heartburn and shit. Then you're like, oh, is that my heart or is that just fucking I ate too much food?
Yeah.
Let me check Dr. Google. Nope, I'm having a fucking angina, fucking heart.
Dying. Yep.
Yeah, but so the thing is too, but you remember back in the day, you know, before Google was so popular, you'd actually go to the doctor and see the doctor. You'd go in and say, I'm having this and that, and the doctor would fucking diagnose you. Now everybody goes on fucking Google or web media, medical fucking site. Yeah, I need to come see the doctor. And once you get to the doctor, you tell the doctor, I have this, this, and this. I think it's that. I need this prescription. And doctors go, okay. It's like, we're like self-diagnosing ourselves, and we're telling the medical experts what's wrong, and they're just writing out fucking scripts. Okay, see you later. It's like, that's fucking crazy. Rather than have a professional tell you what's wrong, half the people now go to the doctor and tell the doctor, I've got this.
Yeah. I only use Dr. Google for my cat now. I won't use Dr. Google ever again. He can fuck
up. My missus does that for the cat. The cat's got a weepy eye. She'll be looking at this, and then she'll be looking at that. Or the cat's got this. Oh, yeah, she's Google. Oh, we need to get this for the cat. Oh, we'll just start with the warm salt baths for the eyes to begin with. And then went to the health food store the other day. She was after some orange type stuff you could give him and stuff like that. So yeah, anything that goes wrong with the cat, she's on Google.
Yeah. So the dude who asked the question about the monitoring your blood work was Christopher Thomas 2009. Uh-huh. Good question.
Yes, but I do recommend that it is good to get it done at least once a year or twice a year if you're doing off-season, on-seasons. Or
Tank 10A. Lee, can you recommend a few supplements that a beginner can take? Trinase.
I've always just recommended just a good basic protein powder and maybe glutamine and a multivitamin. Just for a basic beginner. When I was beginning, all I ever used was a protein powder. And I'm not sure if they're still making. Do you ever remember the old liver 10,000 tablets? They used to be like a liver tablet.
You can still get the liver tabs, but they're not that widespread anymore, but you can find them
back,
if you want.
Well, back in the day, you see Arnold taking handfuls of liver because it gave you a positive nitrogen balance in the muscle. Yeah. So I just have a protein drink and the liver tablets back then and stuff like that. But really, as a beginner, just a good protein powder, you know, find one that doesn't upset your stomach, one that you like the taste of and stuff, and then just a good multivitamin and maybe some glutamine and stuff. I'm not really big into creatines that much, but glutamine I would recommend over anything. But yeah, don't go to a store and say, you know, yeah, I know it's your job, Jeff, but you know, I'm sure you're honest, but you go to some of these health food stores, a beginner comes in, what do you think I need? Well, you're going to need this protein powder, and you're going to need this pre-workout, then you're going to need this BCAA drink while you're working out, and then you're going to need this post-workout drink. And the poor bastard, you know, he's only a young kid, he's left the store, just paid $500-$600. I was actually in a chemist warehouse here the other day, and there was a young kid there, and he sort of looked at me like he recognized me. I was always going to help him, and he was there, I was his mother. He had a protein drink powder to give him. He says, Mum, I want this one. He probably would have been like 18. And then he's got another one, and he goes, and this one, she's like, well, isn't that the same as that one? He's like, no, this one has like a fat burner shredder in it and this and that. And they're standing there, and his mum's looking at him. I felt like going over and saying, mate, which one do you want? I didn't want to be nosy and push in like that, but I could tell he's looking at me like he knew who I was. But then again, he's probably thinking too, maybe I should ask Lee, but I don't want to ask Lee. I would have just said, look, mate, just take this one. This is all you need. So
And then his mum too
is like, oh, I'm not sure about this and that. So, you know, that's why I've always been honest with people when it comes to supplements, because, you know, everyone works hard for their money. If you're going to spend your money on that, get something that's going to work and something that is beneficial, because I've never put my name to something that I want people to waste their money on. I've always been straight up front. If it works, I'll tell you it works. If it doesn't, don't waste your money on it, because, you know, I'm sure even like this kid had to ask his mum to get it, but I'm sure there's plenty of relationships too where husbands and wives or boyfriends and girlfriends go out shopping. She'll buy the fucking shirt and shoes. You can't say fuck all. Honey, I want to get these shoes. Okay, if it makes you happy. The second you go, honey, I want to get this protein powder. Do you really need that? Do you need that protein powder? It's like, oh, fucking hell. Okay, sorry I asked. So, you know,
I've literally had guys. It's only happened a couple times, but I've literally had dudes come in and buy a product and then come back the same day. And they're like, oh, you know, and I'm like, you fucking wife yelled at you, didn't she? Like, yep. Mm-hmm. I was working at Syracuse at a store, and that happened.
And heaven forbid you go off if they buy a dress or something. You go this or that, but the second you want to buy some protein powder or stuff, do you really need that? What do you need that for, Baron? I was like, oh, fuck, sorry. It's like you're getting your fucking eyelashes done. You're getting eyelashes done, your fucking lips done. You're getting breast implants. You're buying dresses. But the second I want to buy just a tin of protein powder to feel good, I get the fucking third degree.
Getting your hair done costs $90.
Oh, yeah. But, you've got to say it looks good even when it looks shit. You're like, oh, it looks good, honey.
Did you use protein powder like in your heyday?
Yeah,
like in the 90s.
Even leading up the contest, some people cut out their diet, but I always kept it in my
diet. How did you use it?
I used to put it in water and shake it like that, and then I'd drink it. What do you think I did with it? Put it in water, got a paintbrush, and painted the fucking house. How do you think I used it?
you know what I mean. I'd have one
with breakfast generally, but if I was getting ready for a show, I'd have a bowl of oatmeal and a protein drink if I didn't have eggs. And then really, sometimes I'd have it after training. If I had a big 2-hour workout and did cardio after the workout, so I've gone 3 hours close to that, I'd have a protein drink straight after my workout, and then maybe an hour later I'd go home and have a meal. And then I'd generally have one at night before bed, or make one up and put it in the fridge for if I got up through the night to take a piss. But back then, there used to be a company called J-Rob. I think they're still around. They used to make a really good egg protein. That's all I ever used, the egg protein. And people are like, well, you should cut proteins out before shows. And, you know, and egg protein has a lot of sodium in it, but I kept it in. That was the only probably sodium I was having. I stayed full and hard for contests, and I'd be having a shake up until the day before the show. So, you know, I never cut them out. But the J-Rob protein, I'd always have that just to – egg white protein was the one I used the most for contests.
Yeah.
I found was the best, because you have a lot of these whys now and this and that, but for some reason I just felt better and trained better and looked better using just egg protein.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that like the protein shakes, I never used egg protein really, but the whey protein, like whey protein isolate and stuff, I feel like if I get more, the more my protein I get from whey, I feel like the leaner I get. Uh-huh. Like, I feel like it doesn't stick to me the same way. I feel like it's very – I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But whenever I feel like I have, like, a lot of whey for 2 days, I feel like the third day I'm leaner. almost like it just has like a something about it doesn't like stick like normal food does. So I guess it would at least.
But even when I first started doing that, my heyday, when I was younger, I used to just do the old skim milk, 6 raw eggs, some honey, a couple of bananas, and drink it. And to this day, never got sick once. But now it's like you can't have raw eggs. I remember even now, you know, you'd make a cake, and when your mum had made the cake, you licked the beater or the spoon, you know, from the cake mix.
Oh, yeah.
And now it says on the boxes, do not eat cake mix because it has raw eggs inside. I'm thinking, I never once got sick from drinking raw eggs in shakes or licking a beater spoon. Me and my sister would fight for the bowl just to eat the rest of the cake mix from the bowl.
Yeah.
We never got sick, so why all of a sudden now are eggs so fucking dangerous that you can't have them raw anymore? I'm like,
I've never, crazy. I don't give a, I mean, I'll scramble them up with a fork and then I used to love,
that was some of my favorite drinks, just even some skim milk, 6 whole eggs or, you know, 2 whole eggs, the rest egg whites, throw in a couple of bananas, throw in some vanilla essence and some honey and just make a shake that way. It was great. Yeah. Sometimes maybe even half a cup of oatmeal throw in there and blend it up. So
yeah.
You know?
But in regards to supplements, I'm not a huge fan of like the muscle building supplements and the sports supplements. I think the health supplements are far more valuable in it, like overall. Like there's a lot of health supplements that are very, very good.
Well, I think when it comes to building muscle, you can't beat good old fashioned food. That's why. And then maybe just take a protein powder for when I didn't feel like eating and stuff. But yet the main time my supplements came in, like if I was going to use BCAAs and stuff, was generally when I was dieting, when I'm restricting my food. And because I'm not getting as much food in, I know that, you know, different BCAAs and all that sort of stuff, aminos are going to be cut back due to my food intake. But generally off season was just a protein powder because I knew I was getting everything I pretty much needed from food. So,
yeah. Yeah. The kids ask me, they're like, how did you get, now I'm not so big to a skinny kid I am. And they're like, how'd you get so big? And I always say like, I trained for 14 years, 15 years and I have the appetite of a fat kid, which I was. That's how I built muscle. It's not,
do you get those 17, 18 year olds that come in and go, I want some test boosters. I'm like, you're fucking 17, 18, mate, your fucking test boosting capability should be at a good peak right now.
I'm not gonna, those kids, like I said, I've been doing it too long to bullshit people. It's bullshit. This guy, Bay Area, 1976. Have you ever pulled a lower back muscle? If so, how did you rehabilitate?
Yeah. I pulled the muscle between my legs a few times and, you know, that one, I've pulled it, like, regularly I pull that one, but that's not really a lower back muscle.
The muscle in your leg?
No, I'm talking the muscle between my legs, I said.
Your third leg.
Yeah, it's taking you a while to catch on, isn't it? That's that sarcasm, dry humor coming through, but no, I think, when I say no.
I knew what you were talking about, it just wasn't that good of a joke.
Yeah, why are you just trying to ignore it? I was turning you on. You're like, don't get excited. Just ignore it.
Stop talking about your dick again, Lee. You know what happens.
You had that mental image, didn't you? Like, stay straight-faced. Now, I think we all have, but not to the point. Look, if you pull it that bad and you know it's injured, I wouldn't train. I've had the odd occasion where I was squatting or doing something. You might get that, you know, where you like sort of pinch your sciatic nerve a bit and it'll go down one side of your lower back and down your leg and then it fucks you up for a while and stuff like that. But generally, if it's that bad, I'd say rest it, ice it. If it's really bad, go see someone about it because I'm not a doctor to give advice on whatever. But
if it's
just like a little thing you can sort of work around and, you know, try work around it, do exercises that don't irritate it. But if it's like, you know, my lower back was sore couple of weeks ago, I think I just twisted it the wrong way doing something, outside the gym, of course, just moving something, and it was sore. But then when I went to do squats the next day, I went to go down, I'm like, oh, fuck, that's just killing me. So I didn't do squats for a couple of weeks. So if it's something where you know it's injured, don't be like, oh, it's okay, I'll take a few painkillers and push through it. No, because you're going to do more damage if it's, you know, you just got to work out how far you can push it. If it's not too bad, you can work around it. But if it's really sore, just, you know, give it some rest.
Yeah.
But we all do. We all pull little muscles here and there, or even sometimes you pinch a nerve and it feels like the muscle. And believe me, pinched nerves. I still got that fucked up one in my neck that's crushed. I'd rather a pulled muscle or sore muscle any day over a little fuck. Sometimes you wouldn't think a little fucking nerve can cause that much trouble, but fucking hell.
Has there been any progress?
With the court case, it's slowly moving ahead, but nah. People say, yeah, I've been seeing a chiropractor.
I mean, physically. Like, has there physically been any progress?
I got a little bit more strength, but as far as the muscle firing properly, no. I'd have to really get it. And there are things you can do to maybe relieve the pain a bit, go to the chiropractor, get a bit more movement and stuff. But as long as that thing's still crushed, it's not going to fire through to what you need to do. So, you know, a little bit of strength might come back, but, you know, the couple of inches I lost of that arm hasn't come back yet, and it probably won't until you actually relieve it and then hope it grows back to, you know, to hook up again. But, you know, it's just one of those things.
Are you able to bench and, like, press overhead and stuff?
I can, but it's, you know, a lot weaker on this arm. If I'm doing, say, dumbbell presses, I could have a 50 kilo here and 30 kilo max this side. But then it's the funny, because here's the funny thing, because this arm's a lot weaker because the tricep, it's affected by the nerve.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing pull downs, I'd be like this arm goes, and this, you know, because his arms are stronger and it's weaker. This whole chest, the top bit of the chest here, around the chest here, the tricep and the lats atrophied due to that nerve. So, but the thing is, though, if I've got, this is the weird thing about it. If I tried to do 230 kilo dumbbells, I'm struggling, like fucking, as soon as I go heavier in this side, this arm feels normal and it actually fucking moves. So as long as I use more weight in this arm feels a bit normal, even though it's a lot of weight lighter. I'm still doing something, but I just sometimes just go light and just get the blood moving, so that's all I can do. But it is frustrating because you just know that this arm is doing more of the work. So this forearm has come up a lot, though, because this tricep and this part of the arm doesn't work too well. The forearm does what it works, so this forearm's grown a bit. So.
Yeah. Well, something, I guess.
Yeah, I just wear shirts to the elbows, I'll be okay.
Yeah. Let's see the good arm.
The good arm. Oh. I'll turn the camera here. We go. Here's the good arm.
The greatest arms ever.
I got a sore shoulder too at the moment. It hurts to flex. There we go. Here's a good arm.
Jesus. Look at that.
Still there a little bit.
It is. Still there.
Now I've got a cramp. And I want you to know, I want a disclaimer like all bodybuilders do. I'm carb depleted. I'm not pumped up. And I've
didn't sleep last night.
You know, I've got those before contest photos where someone puts up a photo doing a lat spread or double bicep. I just want to show you all how I'm looking. But remember, I'm not carved up right now, and I just got out of bed, and I'm not pumped up. It's like, no, shut the fuck.
You know who's even worse for that? You know who's even worse with that is powerlifters. Powerlifters are horrible. Powerlifters will hit a set, and it's just they'll hit a set and they'll be happy, but then after the set, they'll list all the reasons why it was more impressive. Like,
I missed meals yesterday. I didn't get
didn't sleep well. fighting with the, they'll list all this stuff that makes them like feel better about the lift. It's very common powerlifting.
So
this will be the last question. This is a good one. This is from Jesus.
From Jesus.
Yep, from Christ. I can't do it.
He want to know? What's Jesus want to know?
They want to know who is your favorite current bodybuilder? That's the question.
Favorite current bodybuilder? I'd say Flex Lewis.
Okay.
Just because he's similar to me, and plus he's a down to earth guy. He's funny. Every time I see him, we get on well and stuff like that. And then after him, I'd probably see someone like Bonac, similar again due to height and just the freakiness of him. But at the moment, I'd say Flex Lewis is, like I said, every time I've seen him, he's always polite, unlike me. I'm an asshole and stuff. So he carries himself well, unlike me. You know, Flex speaks really well, unlike me. I'm a fucking asshole and stuff. But yeah, I think he's, like I said, we've got on good. That time we were over at FIBO together and we trained a few times in the gym, joking around that. We had a good time. And yeah, he's, like I said, good down to earth guy. And like I said, he better not let me down. My money's on him to win the fucking Open Olympia. So
he could. If he doesn't win,
and I'm going to get my neck fixed, and I'm fucking coming back for a comeback. So fucking
yeah. I actually, it's funny today. Chris Aceto was live on Instagram, and I said Lee Priest versus Flex Lewis, and he read it, and he goes, He goes, Flex Lewis, lights out from behind. That's what he said.
Mm. Yeah, but that's behind that. It's, you know, it's only one
pose. I think he would beat you from behind, but you definitely beat him from the front.
Yeah, but you have to remember, too, what are we comparing to? This is the new Lee. Yes, I was fuller when I was younger, but Lee from behind at the universe had styrated glutes and
that's styrated. True, yeah.
And the hemis were all crazy.
But nobody has, very few guys have glutes like Flex Lewis.
No.
He could be 240 and those glutes are probably shredded.
Mm-hmm.
He's that type of guy.
You get people that just naturally have that. It's like even that Rinelle Genevieve back in the day, there was a few bodybuilders. That Tommy Fornson, remember him? He could look bloated everywhere.
Yeah.
His ass was fucking shredded, but yet his upper body was still like, how the fuck do you ever...
Yeah.
Ripped ass, but you're fucking fat everywhere else. And then you have other people who are like, this is what people say, well, when you turn to the back, you lose it. Okay, if I lose it at the back, we've still got all the side shots, the front shots, and all that sort of stuff.
So. Yeah. I had Tommy Thorvaldsen's, I may still have it. I had Tommy Thorvaldsen's DVD, and it was called like Viking Strong or something. His face. Yeah, dude. His face was like this. And he looked like one of those fucking dogs with the cheeks like hanging down. And then he turns around and his ass cheeks are piano keys. You're like, what? How do you have such a fat face and have such shredded glutes?
I know, it's crazy.
But that's how Flex Lewis would be too, guaranteed.
Yeah, I'm sure he would be. Yeah, but yeah, if I say my favorite today would be Flex, you know, I think he just has that over. Hold on, someone was trying to call me, that went away. He just has that overall, you know, structure and balance and freakiness to him, and his conditioning is always good. So. I just hope when he does the Open, I think I mentioned it before, I hope they judge him fairly on being in the Open, not being like, you're a 212 guy, blah, 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 you should be in the 212. He's in the Open, judge him accordingly. So, you know, I think it would be great too. I'd love to see a 212 guy that's won the 212 that many years in a row take out the Open as well. So that would
How much shorter is he than Brandon Curry? He's not much smaller than – Brandon Curry's not like a large –
I don't know how tall is Brendan. Is Brendan 5'8"? Well, Flex is pretty much around my height, 5'5", 5'6", I think, isn't he? So
yeah, so I mean, Hadi Chupin's got to be right around your guys' height too, and
he could have
won the Olympia. No one would have really been upset.
I just think when I see Flex standing on stage, though, like when you look at someone, if you're going to, like I said, if you're going to get nitty gritty and it's close to, say, Brandon or Flex, whatever, when we start looking at overall symmetry, you know, Flex has the shoulders, the freaky muscle mass, his conditioning is always good, but then he has everything. It's like the shoulders, the arms, the back, the chest. He has a small waist. He's got the quads and hammies, and he's got those massive calves. So if I'm looking at it for a complete bodybuilder who's in great condition and just has that look, I'd pick Flex over Brandon or over Bonac and stuff. Even as good as Bonac is, I just still think Flex, like Bonac's more compacty type thing, whereas Flex, as freaky as he is, he still has nice symmetry to him and stuff like that. So,
and his waist is never ever distended at all, not even a little bit. Like you had the flattest stomach on stage. Like you could see that you were breathing through your stomach, but your stomach was so flat it totally didn't matter. And that's kind of how Flex
is. You know, the off season, my waist, I think the biggest that got was 45 inches in the off season. contest time, it was 29. And I used to always make a point when I stood near someone. Yeah, I'm sure if you go back in videos and you look at me standing in a lineup, I used to always do it. I should have, hard to show you because my waist isn't a thing now, but I'd stand there, I'd put my hands on my hips like that.
Yes.
And when I stood there, my fingers would touch. So I'd stand with my fingers on my hips, but my fingers would be touching. So yeah, I'd be pointing out how small my waist was. People are like, oh, fuck, Lee, even with your hands on your hips, your fingers were touching. So I'd make it look like it was really small.
Yeah, that was sick. I remember you doing that. Plus, you got pretty big hands, so it looks super crazy when you did that.
I got big hands, but I haven't got really long fingers. I got like these paws here like this, but yeah, my fingers.
And black fingernails. I like it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the wife wanted to do that. She wants to do a fingernail course, so I let her practice on me. Actually, they're like green beetle. It's like a green wing beetle.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing black next, but it's funny. Here's another funny thing. When I did this, I think they're mainly from India or one of those countries. Lee, I used to respect you as a bodybuilder and look up to you on that. Now you painted your fingernails. You're fucking gay.
Is that what that means?
Yeah. My wife painted them, remember? She sucked my dick after. So if that's gay, yeah. I'll be gay. It's like, yeah, but I got so many. What are you doing that for? You're fucking gay. I didn't know fingernail polish suddenly made you. I used to do this years ago.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I did.
And 2013 and shit, yeah.
Even when I was 18, I used to date a girl. She used to do nails and hair, and I used to have like a black nail here or there, and she'll put like a little diamond thing on it. And it's just amazing that little things like this just fucking make people go fucking nuts. It's like, I remember back in the day, I'd do my hair a different way or do it a different color. Muscle Max or Lee Priest is fucking idiot. Look at his fucking hair today. It's blue or it's red or it's this, it's that. Like my hairstyle became more of a fucking story than how I look body wise and stuff. So. Yeah. But now the fingernail polish just set people off again. It's made me gay.
I'm honestly thinking about doing it with my feet maybe, because I heard Skip Hill on one of the other Think Big bodybuilding shows, Blood, Sweat, and Gear. He was on there talking about how he paints his toenails because he's older now. And the older you get, the more shitty your toenails look. They start getting all brown and shit. And I'm only 33, but there's a couple of them that are starting to get a little bit like, I'm like, maybe I'll just paint them. Won't have to worry about it.
Why not? It's like, why not?
Paint them black.
Like, if you feel like doing it, why not do it? It's like, fuck, you only live once. So have fun, enjoy life. Who cares what people think? It's like, I painted my fingernails now. Makes me a serial killer or something. It's like, I don't mind it. I sometimes forget it's there, and I sometimes see people look at it. But then when I did this, I think it's like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks now, I had tons of inboxes. Lee, look at this now. People are doing it. And then what's really cute is I put up a contest that whoever does the best one, I send them a T-shirt. I've got to go through all the photos yet. But so many guys sent me videos. Here's my daughter doing my nails. Here's my daughter doing my toenails. So it was really cute. The little daughter sitting there painting the dad's toenails and stuff and that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just so happened just this week, actually, on TV, there's this new home loan ad where the guy comes home from work and he sits down. He goes upstairs and his daughter's there, and he sort of forcibly, when he wakes up, she's painting his toenails. And she's like, is that pretty, Dad? He's like, oh, thank you, darling. I look at that ad and look at my wife and go, he's fucking gay. He's fucking gay.
Yeah.
Because well, it does make it. I didn't know it makes you gay, but it makes you gay.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the old saying, paint the fingernails, you're gay.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so I got to kick the wife out now and go find Bob or someone to come live with me.
Yeah.
What happens when I take the nail polish off? Do I have to go back to the wife again?
Either you go back in the closet or you're straight again. I don't know.
How about if I just do one hand? Does that just mean I'm bi?
Yep. Obviously.
I'm sure that'd tell me, but did you hear the latest news? I thought was funny. I think he's going to do a good job off topic, but Nicolas Cage going to play the fucking Tiger King?
For what? Like the new seasons?
No, they're going to make a movie, like a whole movie.
Ugh, I haven't watched that. It doesn't seem like something that would interest me.
But Nick, you got to watch it just for the funniness of it. And the two lovers he had on that he married, when the guy that works at the park describes them as bodybuilders and him loving muscular men, and they're like this, you're like, okay. It's like sometimes when you see those things on TV, such and such kills someone, fucking well-known bodybuilder or pro bodybuilder, and that shows you their profile picture from Facebook, and you're like, fucking hell, that's a bodybuilder?
There's like, if you see it a lot. You see it in basketball videos, like so-and-so versus a bodybuilder, and the kid's like skinny. Or, you know, in the general public, it seems like anybody with muscle can be considered a bodybuilder no matter what.
Well, I used to get that when I lived in California. Occasionally you get these things, a call up. Well, Lee, here's an audition. They're looking for a muscular bodybuilder. So you go up there, and half the people sitting there just look like skinny male models, you know. I go in, you're too big. It's like, then don't ask for a fucking bodybuilder. Just ask for a lean, muscular guy or somebody in shape. But all these bodybuilders turn up, they're usually too big. Then don't ask for a fucking bodybuilder.
Yeah. The wrong term.
Exactly. It's like, okay, you built your body. All right.
Yeah. So, actually, you earlier brought up UFOs and like people seeing UFOs and you brought up the people who were like they interview like these like wacko country bumpkins. So I have a question.
They're the same ones that see Bigfoot, by the way.
Yeah, see, that's just what I was gonna say. I just wanted to have a quick Bigfoot discussion.
Speaking of Bigfoot, did you ever watch that show? Was it Finding Bigfoot?
Of course, we talked about that a lot.
Oh, That was right, yeah, because we used to, didn't we? Because the guy that used to be like, that was the classic, hold on, hold on. Listen, listen. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? The way this guy was so serious.
He'd be like, yeah.
And his mate would be on the other hill. I think I heard something.
Yep. That dude, that guy, whatever his name was, he would be like, they'd hear a noise and he'd be like, that's a squatch. Like, that's a squatch. Like,
definitely a squatch. Male that's a squatch.
That's a squatch. Yeah, like he'd be like, he's like, sometimes
you stay here on this ridge. I'm going to go to that ridge over there. I'll give the call and you listen.
Yeah.
I don't know how they know what squatches sound like.
I know. It's amazing. They'll at one point I remember him saying they heard a coyote, and dude was like, well, sometimes he goes, juvenile squatch are known to impersonate other animals. I'm like, what?
Yeah. And so are humans. So are stupid humans. They're known to impersonate squatches sitting in the woods.
Right.
Wouldn't it be funny? Like, okay, they're filming this show, right? But little known to them, there are actually other people like them on the other hill. So here we are filming a TV show. It's you and me. Jeff, you stand here. I'm going to go on the hill and give out a call. But while we're filming this show, Tim and Bob are over there, just two mates, looking for squatch as well. And I'm like, to you, Jeff, I'll give a call. Now, Bob and Tim, who don't know where here, go, did you hear that, Tim? A squatch. I'll give a call back. So we've got these just two fucking rednecks giving fucking Sasquatch calls in the forest.
A bunch of squatch hunters calling back and forth to each other.
Who don't know each other's there, and they're all fucking calling each other.
Yeah, yeah.
maybe instead of the COVID app, the coronavirus app, they need a squatch app. So when these Bigfoot hunters go out looking, they know there's other Bigfoot hunters in the area, not just calling each other.
So it's actually, that was a perfect way to like preface this question. Let's say you were out for a walk one night or something. You couldn't sleep, and you're walking down the street, and you clearly see a fucking Bigfoot right in front of you. It's right there. You can see the whole thing. There's no mistaking it. It's like under a street lamp, whatever. And you see it, and it sees you, and it fucking bleh, and it goes into the woods. Do you tell people, or do you just think to yourself, like, no one's gonna believe me anyway, so I'm just gonna like keep that to myself?
I'll tell people. Yeah, you and would? The thing is too, hopefully too, I'd have my phone on me. I'd be like, fucking hold on.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
You get
too,
one of these.
I know. To this day, with all the technology of good phones, why is shit still blurry and fucking looks like Blair Witch Project?
Every time.
It's like, what the fuck was that? Was that a guy in a suit? Yeah, but hopefully you get a good picture if he's under the streetlight. But then it's like, I wouldn't go chasing him just in case he's fucking crazy and turns around. I'm in the bush. But if I saw him there, I'd tell people. Yeah, you try and, you know, depending to it, hopefully I'll be doing. Was anyone in the area, dash cam video? Do any of these shops have security cameras where they can help fucking, I'd be like the FBI TV shows. Let's collect all the security camera from this area that night. I want to see whether there's a Sasquatch on the fucking video. Yeah. Well, here they call them. In Australia, we have Yowies. They're called Yowies here.
Okay.
Bigfoot, Sasquatch there. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes when you hear that too, it's like there's been so many sightings of that. And, you know, there's been fake shit and real shit. It's like Loch Ness. You know, sometimes there's so much evidence where you can go. I never say no, because to me, okay, there is some evidence and then there isn't. It's like saying, is there a God or whatever? We don't really know. You can say, okay, there's the Bible that tells us all this shit, but really it's just someone telling me that someone wrote a fucking book. I never saw God invent everything on the eighth day and he took a fucking nap or whatever. So it's like there's so much evidence saying, yes, there is. And then there's, like you said, you get the people that fake it. So it's like crop circles.
Right.
They've caught some people making them, but then they've got some that are just totally unexplained. So I keep an open mind to everything. I don't just say, no, you fucking idiots, you're full of garbage. It's like, because when you look at the wilderness, fuck me dead. The wilderness is so vast. There's shit out there we've probably never seen. They're still discovering different species of fucking fish in the ocean because it's so deep. So when it does come to Loch Ness, some people are faked it. Some say this, but to me to say, there's no fucking sea creatures like that in the depths of the ocean would just be stupid, because, you know, it's like saying there's no other life forms when you look at how many galaxies and that just go on and on and on, to say that we're the only life form in the whole fucking millions and billions of light years away. We don't know. So I'd like to keep an open mind on everything. So
if we're the only life form, then we're fucked. If we're the only life form, then the things we taught are not true. Because if the things we are taught are true, we couldn't be the only life form. But I think the Bigfoot thing is, it is possible. It is possible. Like, what if there was only 50 of them total? Exactly. The weirdest thing about, not that that would be very likely, but the weirdest thing about Bigfoot to me, or the most intriguing thing, is that you can find Bigfoot accounts like back in the records way back. Uh-huh. And it's like, as like since like it was like the, like the 1600s or the 1700s, they were talking about encounters with these hairy ape men and stuff. It's like, were they fucking, I mean, nowadays you have Finding Bigfoot and all this nonsense. Yeah. But back then, it's like, was it the same sort of thing?
Well, it goes back to the UFOs. You watch those UFO documentaries, and there's actually cave paintings where you go back to like prehistoric men, or, you know, Neanderthal men. They're shown cave paintings of, you know, how they draw the stick figure.
Yes.
A man chasing a buffalo with a spear. Yep. But then on the top, they've painted a disc like flying saucer. Yeah. I was like, well, you go back to those days, they would never have known about a flying saucer when you got this perfectly drawn disc flying in the sky, or even some of the things in Egypt have these flying discs. There's going back to found old oil paintings of Mary Magdalene holding the baby Jesus, and in the background, there's a flying saucer ship in the sky. So it's like, you know, to go back that far and have cave paintings of flying ships in the sky, it's like, well, they wouldn't have known anything about it back then.
They didn't see that in a movie.
No. So I thought they watched Independence Day and went, oh, shit, oh, like a flying saucer.
Yeah, what a great movie.
And the way they're drawn, too, it's not like you can't just say it's a shooting star. They would have just saw a star shooting across the sky. I'm sure they knew the difference between stars and an actual disc thing. The way they've drawn it would be like, you know, I don't think they even had a wheel back in those days, so how would they know what a disc was?
Right, right. Yeah, it is interesting. The other thing, I don't know. We don't know as much as we think we know. I think a lot of times the way that, like...
And that's the thing, too. I always think, like, even with the hieroglyphics, because there's so many ancient writings and scripts and hieroglyphics that, okay, with our modern-day mind now, we're trying to interpret it to say, this is what it means. This is what this writing is. These drawings here mean this, they mean that. I'm sure if we could go back thousands of years right back and grab a person that did it and said, we think this means that, he'd probably go, you fucking idiots. It doesn't mean that at all. Where the fuck did you get that from?
Right.
It's the same with the Bible now, even. Like some of these stories in the Bible, back then with their limited minds on the different cultures and what they had back then, their mindset was totally different. So to use our mind today to try and interpret what they meant back then is just totally ludicrous. So, yeah, you know, when we see all these different things, when they find something in the Incas and they find these things on the wall, well, this sort of thing here, if we just look at it, we put in a computer program, we think that's the letter E. Or is it like meaning that sort of thing like that? And sometimes if it has that on top, that means they were a king. So this guy was a king. It's probably just fucking Bob from next door that lived next to Sam. He's no king at all, but, you know, it's fucking...
Right.
It's like my grandfather. When he finally passed away, I gave him one of my Mr. Olympia medals, put it around his neck, and he got buried with that. You know, in 100 years' time, 200 years' time, if something ever happened and they dug him up and they find this skeleton, oh, he must have won a Mr. Olympia. He's got a Mr. Olympia medal around his neck.
Right.
I wonder who that was. He's only short.
It's Lee Priest.
Is that Franco Colombo? he's got a Mr. Olympia medal. I said, the way we just put things together sometimes, I always wonder, okay, you might be on the right track, but if you ever had someone from that era really tell you what it all meant, I'd be like, you know, we just look at things like Stonehenge. Well, we think this was for the gods and the sun and this and that. And if they told you, oh, no, we just had a few leftover rocks and fucking stuck them up there. We didn't have no rhyme or reason to it.
That stuff is big, too. Like, I mean, there's things like they find things that are like buried or whatever. I mean, archaeologists, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
They'll find hammers and tools that are carbon dated to like a million years. Oh, and they're it's supposed to be way farther back than humans should be, but it's like a sophisticated tool, like a fairly sophisticated tool. Like, and there's no way to explain the, either our dating system is shit, which it would screw up a whole bunch of stuff, or there were people way longer, you know, way further back than
Those things they found, like that old ancient battery going back thousands and thousands of years. That was made like a battery on all these shows and stuff. And then even if we don't go back that far, but even just going back to the pyramids and stuff like that, the way these things were built, when you have guys today saying, listen, with all the technology today, we couldn't do this. We couldn't put them together like so perfect like that. We couldn't get those edges like that with our laser cutting shit. And you want me to believe a guy with a fucking hammer and chisel and shit built these things so perfectly and tightly put together that people today with our technology can't do? I'm like, come on. It's like, just keep an open mind, people. Don't just go, oh, you're a fucking idiot conspiracy theory thing and the aliens did it. Well, fucking, you know, fucking Jesus and his disciples didn't fucking do it. It's
like, it was such a long time ago. I mean, the humans did it, we think. So they had the same brains that we did. They had the same sort of brain power that we use to make iPhones and to make, you know, all that shit, skyscrapers and all this to do this, like what we're doing now. So they were not less intelligent. They may have been more intelligent, depending on who knows, but they certainly weren't less intelligent. So they could have just had, they could have just figured things out that we haven't figured out, or like they had different ways of, who the fuck knows? It was so long ago.
It's like when they talk about how they got those big stones for the pyramid there. They did the old, you know, in our brain, we think, put it on the log, keep rolling the log along and pulling it along, which if they saw that, they'd be like, fuck, that would have, we wouldn't have gotten built to this day if we did it that way, because where the quarry was to where they had to move it to. I think somebody worked out that with all the stones in the pyramid, to move it that distance and the amount of manpower and to do it, they still wouldn't have been built in the amount of time they said. And then they're talking about, then they built this big ramp that, you know, to put the stones up the ramp to get it to the top. Can you imagine a ramp this steep trying to drag one of those stones up to put it up on the pyramid to get to the top of the pyramid?
I mean,
they said the ramp would have to be so, like, a couple of miles long so you could still get it up there rather than being steep like that. They just said it's just, like I said, we'll probably never know. Unless the government's got a time machine and they already do know. I've seen The Simpsons. Simpsons predicts the future. They got a time machine somewhere. Someone's bending that quantum leap, folding it back on ourselves, you know.
I'm gonna look. How many stones? Okay, so the Great Pyramid is 2.3 million stones.
Fucking
hell. And each stone is like the size of a fucking, I don't know. It's like huge. So if it's 2.5 million stones, if you could think,
and how many in the ton? I think forget how many tons they weighed. It was like
they're huge. Yeah, they're.
So imagine they said, yeah, but Lee, they had slaves. How many slaves would it take just to move one of the stones? Or elephants?
Even if you could, what is that? If you moved one a day,
and what's the distance? Like, I remember it was a fair distance too from the quarry where they got the stones to where they built the pyramids. It was a bit of a distance. It wasn't just like across the road. It was like miles and miles and miles.
No, it was a long distance.
Yeah,
I don't even know where they got them. But if it was, let's see, I'm gonna do some math. 2.3 million.
Does it say the tonnage of the stone?
Yeah, that would. So if they did one stone a day, it would take 6,400 years to build that pyramid.
Hmm. And they're not that old, are they?
Like, I don't think they. I don't. I honestly don't know. But that's how much I'm talking on my ass. But. So even, I mean, how many stones could they possibly drug over there, like what went up the pyramid and then put in place perfectly so they all lined up? I mean, that's
and then when you look inside the pyramid, there's different rooms and chambers and the way they've built shit to go inside. And
yeah, right. Let's say they did it four.
It wasn't just like building blocks inside. In amongst those building blocks, they've got other big stones holding up doorways and tunnels and archways going into different caverns and chambers.
Yeah,
and all that stuff would take
so much more time than the For a day would be 2,000 years it would take. If you got four of those fuckers up a day, which seems impossible, but there's just, I don't know. And then to build all that stuff inside, it is wild.
Imagine when you go inside and you find the fucking Squatch sitting inside the pyramid. That's what it was, Sasquatch built them because they're big and strong and they push the fucking things
just
up there.
Just two of them for each block. There's 100 of them.
I saw Harry and the Hendersons. They're pretty strong.
There you go. It all makes sense now.
Oh, we've just solved the world's problems from pyramids to fucking Bigfoot.
Good.
UFOs.
Good.
Next week we'll talk about paranormal ghosts.
Good. It's a good thing we started the show.
Yeah.
Started the show back up. Fixing all these problems.
Oh,
all right, Lee.
Yeah.
We've overstayed our welcome officially. It's going to happen every time, probably.
That's okay.
But
we'll get abused on everything that we don't know nothing about. At first, you think there's no virus, and now you think there's Bigfoot and fucking UFOs. You two are just fucking dickheads. The roids are gone to your fucking brain. You got no brain left. I've heard law before, so go ahead, mate. Leave your comments.
Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on. Yeah. We are dickheads, but if you're gonna
abuse me, please look. I'll give a free T-shirt if someone can abuse me with something original that I've never fucking heard before.
Free T-shirt for the best abuse.
Yeah, but it's got to be something I've never heard, so that limits it greatly.
All right, everyone, like and subscribe, all that stuff, if you want, if you like it. Next show we'll have a Q&A up. Same thing. Lee's Instagram, my Instagram. I mean, Lee's Instagram is very easy to find. You can find mine from there.
I'm going to go study pyramids, Bigfoots, and other wonders of the world for next show. I'm going to get a cheat sheet so we can just throw out different stuff.
Yeah.
And if I'm talking about Loch, I can't leave out the Ogopogo up in Lake Okanagan in Canada either. I'm going to talk about Loch Ness and stuff.
Good.
And there's a few places too, like the big black panther roaming the forest, so we got to find that.
The giant spiders in the Amazon, the giant giant anacondas, the 50-foot anacondas.
Moby Dick, squid. The squids. Well, we got a lot to talk about.
the squids were a crypto creature, and now they're the real deal.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good example.
I remember
Bigfoot is real, Bricks.
A year or two ago, I remember there was that one dive team that went down and found that massive, huge squid down in the depths of the ocean and stuff.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah. It was a huge, a really big thing in science and whatever you call it, biology.
Yeah. And then there was this guy called Captain Nemo, and it grabbed his vessel, the Nautilus, and it pulled it down into the water. Oh, that's a movie. Sometimes I get confused.
Captain Nemo.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. So
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Oh, what a great movie.
Yeah. Did you, I think I might watch Godzilla Clash of the Monsters tonight.
Oh, that's not a bad one. Not a bad one.
I watched the first half of it, and I didn't really like it, but now the guys I work with say the second half is really good, so I might have to go back in and finish.
Well, if you watched all the other Godzilla movies, it's good just to, throw it in there. But I like that. I think there's another Halloween coming out soon, or it's meant to be, with Jamie Lee Curtis in it again. So
nice.
I like things like that when they sort of keep these franchises. I love to see another Jason movie come out, but I like any type of movie like that.
Right. Yeah.
Anyone else can go watch Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
Bloodfather with Mel Gibson was good.
You know what was good with Mel Gibson? Signs. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
That was great. That scared the shit out of me.
That ended up with aliens types in the end of it, didn't it? Like the creatures? Yeah.
They were very slow to reveal the creatures, which made it I thought it was an unbelievable movie. I loved that movie.
Yeah, that was. Was that an M. Night Shyamalan movie, or was it a...
I don't know.
Because that M. Night Shyamalan, he did a few good ones, but then he did a few where you watch them and you're like, what the fuck was that about?
It may have been.
I'm not sure, but that's a good one to watch again while we're in lockdown.
Yeah. It's a good one. All right, Lee.
Okay.
So until next time, I will, I'll be in touch. Everybody,
stay safe.
Good luck with your home workouts and being stuck at home. We're all in the same boat here. All right.
We'll talk about the Titanic next time too, then. You're talking about boats.
Okay. Talking about boats?
Yeah, you said we're on the same boat. Made me think of Titanic. Oh,
see, that one went over my head. So, that one I missed completely.
I'm quick, Jeff. I'm quick.
But we could talk about the Titanic. That's well, we can watch that.
Don't tell me how it ends. Don't ruin it for me, okay? I don't want to know.
All right. For Lee Priest, I'm Jeff Roberts, and we're out of here. See you guys.